together and worship again. No, I think another Sunday that's well. I feel all right. Satan must have took a vacation. Early the next day, I got up. I found I did take short vacations. He was right back. I couldn't hardly walk from one room to the other. But the Lord blessed said, "I come." He come in like a. Brings come in when Satan comes in like a flood. He raised up a standing against him. Amen. And the next day, I felt good. So, amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. He's there too. Amen. We just ask Him to bless all of our hearts, and lead and guide us into all truth and understanding. For there's so much in Satan, such rage, that we think sometimes that God had left, but He won't. He's there. To keep trusting and keep believing. Yeah. We're going to read Psalm 32, 1 through 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this hour, for this day, Lord, that you have brought us. Lord, we're thankful that you are preparing our hearts, Lord, that when you call, we're here. Lord, lift our souls up into the place that you are. Lord, we know we are not trying to get to heaven where you are, but to bring you down into our hearts. Lord, we ask you to guide us, Lord, and let us know that you are real. Lord, the battle is not ours. Lord, we have not the enemy to fight, but Lord, you do our fighting for us. Lord, we thank you and ask you to ever be with us wherever we are. Lord, whatever arises, let us know and let us turn unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sins is covered. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long.
For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into dry out of silence.
I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and mine iniquities have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgave the iniquity of my sins, Selah.
For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto me.
Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes.
Be ye not as a horse or as a mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee.
Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about.
Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
You know, I'd like to challenge each of you this morning to, when we do Bible reading, pick a verse that you hear, something that just speaks to your heart, and hold on to that through the service. You know, that's how you take the promises of God and say, hey, I can identify with that. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with a song of deliverance. There's something about singing, you know, when you get in a place in your life and you just lift your hands and start praising him. It changes the atmosphere, you know. Start quoting his word, take him at his word. My brother Ryan said, I don't know about you, that set the atmosphere for today's service. What he spoke, I tell you, it really came down to where we live. And it just takes flicking that devil off, putting that shoulder down, saying, God, I'm going to choose to read your word, pray through. And I really appreciate that, Ryan. We want to say God bless you, Brother Darty. We've been praying for the family and for the loss of your daughter. We love you. And your grieving and loss is ours as well. So we just keep praying. If there's anything we can do, we're here for you. So, amen. Brother John, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering?
Precious Lord, we thank you so much, Father. We can gather once again in your name. We just thank you, Lord, for being in our midst, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, truly we just turn our hearts to see you, Lord God, in everything, Lord, in the smallest things to the greatest things, Lord. Help our eyes to be fixed on you. Bless the service, Lord Jesus, we pray. Bless our brother, Lord. May your vessel this morning yield it to you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, sir, Jesus.
Bring exactly what we need, Lord. We love you, Father. We pray you bless the tithes and the offerings, part of the remaining of this service. We love you. We lift
thank
you up, Father. We pray for strength in you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Fill My Way Every Day With Love. Amen. We want more of God's love in our life. And, you know, I was thinking when Brother Ron was that Sunday school sermon, just Sister Anna listening to that sermon, is just what are the chances of you listening to that sermon, the same one that he has in his quotes? There's such a confirmation, a witness of the Spirit there. I want to share something. I don't want to take up too much time. I know this is a song service. Last week, Thanksgiving week, we were off for a couple of days. And, you know, sometimes you just need God to tell you, I love you. And you can read it in the scripture. You can hear it a lot of times through the sermons. But when it's personal to you, you look for that thing, that supernatural way that it's impossible. It just couldn't happen. You just didn't pick up this. And so I had a flat tire. I had to go get a flat tire fixed. Who wants a flat tire on Thanksgiving, right? So Friday, I go get the flat tire fixed. I need an oil change. I go over to Walmart and get an oil change. I had to wait, walked around the store looking in the hunting section. Here comes a man on a handicap cart, one of those assist cars. And he asked me a question about a gun, and I said, well, it's about this, and here's the BBs. He said, thank you, sir. You know, God bless you. God bless you. And we just went our ways. I went back to the oil change station because they were finished with the truck. And he comes through the door, and he's walking on his crutches, and he's missing a leg the same way. So we meet again, and so I started to talk to him about Thanksgiving. He started to talk to me about how good God is to him and things. I'm waiting in line to pay for my own oil change, and the Lord said, pay for his. And I said, okay. So I discreetly go up there, and I try to pay for it, and they say, well, it's going to take 2 hours because you can't pay for it until his car's done. I said, well, I'll go get cash. So I go get cash in the front. I come back to the oil change station. He's gone. He said, well, he went on his little cart into the store. I walked around Walmart 45 minutes to try to find him. And when I found him, I told him, I said, the Lord just put it on my heart to pay for your oil change. Here's some extra money for Thanksgiving and your presents and stuff. And he just opened up, and I heard his story of how he lost his leg, the hardships he was going through. I took a picture of him. He's on my prayer list. And his name is Mike. And afterwards, he gave me his phone number. I gave him my name. I said, you pray for me, I pray for you. And when I was walking away, I got in my truck. That song on my heart was, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. And you need God to hear you say that. So I get in my truck, and I'm going to the next stop, a store. And I turn on my phone. And some of you might have the Lifeline app from Voice of God. I click on the sermon. And it's a random sermon that just plays, that's constantly playing. And it was the bomb in Gilead. And it started at the end of the sermon when Brother Branham and the whole congregation was singing, "I love him, I love him, because he first loved me." What are the chances? What are the chances? Just like this morning, you were listening to that same sermon that he had in his notes. What are the chances that God put a song on my heart? Out of 1,400 messages, I click on it, and at that exact same place, they're singing the same song. A song of deliverance, right? And then I realized God gave me a flat tire so I could go to town, get it fixed, meet a man, pay his oil change so he can put a song in my heart. So I got in my truck, clicked on a sermon, and it was the same song that was singing. God gave me a flat tire to tell me he loves me. The next time God gives you a flat tire or something, look for him in that. Look for the testimony in that. Because he does things in such a supernatural way, he speaks. And don't we love him for that? Amen. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Oh, fill my way every day with his love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Let me walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all a while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. And keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never shore. Fill my way every day with love.
that healing came? By love. By love. You entered into that person like the sister did, praying for the little baby, because she had a little baby and she was a mama and she knew. So she entered into that. And so today, I thinking all the needs that we have in the building, different ones, we got a lot there. They're gone and out. Brother Luis and Brother Aaron are in a foreign country today, and we sure miss them. But just whatever's on your heart today, just bring it in. Bring it in the building. Bring it in here, and let's let the Lord tell us what to do about it. Boy, Brother Ryan, wonderful job, brother. Good job. But let's just bring it in. Bring it in and give it to the Lord. Amen. We try sometimes to work it out our own self. You will fail. Yes. You will fail every time. But if you give it to the Lord, he said, bring your burdens and put them on me. So we're going to put our burdens on the Lord today. Everything that we have need of, this is the time of the year. It's like Brother Joe's talking about. You see people that are this time of the year, people, I like this time of the year because people are happy most of the time. But those that are going through issues and losing loved ones, Brother Darty, God bless him. We're going to really pray for the family there. But anything that goes on, it just kind of, it's more, I guess, it hurts you more, I guess, when you come into a time of having a time with family and some of the family's gone. And then you weren't the same one you did last year. They're not there now. Maybe lose a loved one or something. It hurts. But God said he'd be the one that would comfort us. Amen. I can't comfort because I haven't lost a child. But God can wrap his big old loving arms around you. He can put his loving arms around you, and he'll do it by the word of God. He'll either put somebody like Brother Joe said, somebody, he'll flatten your tire to get you to be able to testify to somebody. So now, how many of us have been in that position, though? I didn't think that. Hello, somebody. You're there complaining why your tire was flat, why this happened, why that happened, why'd you do this, why that happened, where'd that nail come from, what am I going to do, right? Hello, okay, I knew we were all human. But then you look at the end of it, though. But why don't we start now and say, Lord, what is it? Amen. What's next? Yes. If we believe we're children of God, he's going to let light afflictions, and he's going to let light things happen to us. That's what the Bible says. To what? Drive us to him. So that we can see that we are being used, as Brother Joe, you know, a flat tire, to talk to a person, to maybe give him a little... you know, he lost a leg. Give him a little boost, and then give Brother Joe a little boost. Say, hey, you're in the right channel because I'm going to turn that music on that played probably 60-something years ago on a tape, and that happens to be the one. So that wasn't a coincidence. That was God. So we see him working and moving, and we sure appreciate the Lord. Remember, Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, I am so glad they took Aaron right off the airplane and put him in the pulpit. He did a real good job. If for those of you that didn't stream in, it's on there somewhere on WhatsApp, and Sister Christine's kept us abreast of all those things. So just remember that. Remember Brother Bob. He is in Mobile preaching this coming Friday, Saturday at 4 o'clock at Brother Burley's. It's going to be a bonfire, and then they're going to have a singing afterwards. I'm going to try to go myself. It'll be at his church. If anybody would like to go, I can give you the address. And then next Sunday, we'll have one service. We're going to cut it just a little bit short because we're going to have a baptism, okay? So I'll get the pool all heated up this week, and if anybody else would like to be baptized, it'll be 100 degrees. Don't matter what it is outside, that pool will be 100 degrees, and we'll baptize you. But there is one young sister wants to be baptized, and we're going to do it. I don't care about a Christmas party, all right? I care about a soul, all right? But we will have the Christmas party afterward, so don't worry. We're still going to have that, and that will be down at Hidden Acres in Gillsville. For those of you that are new, that hadn't been here a year, just get with me or somebody will give you the address. But everybody is invited. It's a catered meal. I don't have to bring anything. Sisters don't have to cook. It's all catered, and they'll be down there waiting on us when we get there. Remember, December the 24th, we're going to have one service. That would be Christmas Eve, but it'll be Christmas Eve day at 10 o'clock, no Sunday school. And we're probably going to have a baby dedication that day. So that'll be a surprise. And I was asked to do a baby dedication a couple of days ago, and he picked that day, him and his wife did. So his brother Daniel Perry and his wife. So just remember that. December 30th has already been announced. Brother Eric Guile will be here at 6 o'clock on Saturday, Sunday. Brother Luke Gibson will be here at 8 o'clock on our watch night service, number 50-something in a row that we've had. Never not had one. So remember that. Remember Sister Melka? She just sent me a text a few minutes ago that she thought it was her battery. They put a new battery in, and lights are still going on, so she's going to try to make it back home. So just remember her and Sister Christine in prayer. Thank God she was at Sister Christine's house when all that went bonkers, so there's God again. A man could have been on the side of a road somewhere, you know, and this weather like it is. No, let her get there, and that's okay. Listen, cars break down. The Lord can heal a car, but it's still going to tear up, all right? Lord heal you, you're still going to tear up too, okay? So, but we're heading toward a place to where that won't happen no more. That won't happen no more. There'll be no ebb and flow. It'll all be one big flow right into eternity, and we're looking for that. So remember that. Remember communion will be this afternoon. And just keep all those in prayer. Terrence and Lisa are at their grandkids are being baptized in Augusta, so they're down there. So, and Ann and Richard's at home with Dad. So just remember the family. Keep us in prayer. We're chugging right along. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this service today, Lord. And without the brothers and sisters here, it wouldn't be a service at all. So, Lord, as that word service means serve, Lord, I pray that you'd serve us a meal today. We come asking and hungry, Lord, for a meal from you, Father. And, Lord, I pray that you'll give it to us, Father, and may we hear you, Lord, and understand what you're saying to us for the hour that we're living in. Forgive us of our faults and failures and our sins. And sometimes, as we were saying, we have an attitude, Lord, that we shouldn't have when something happens. And there you are right in the middle of it. And, boy, it sure makes you ashamed when that happens. It makes me ashamed when I see that the Lord does something like that and I become a little bit angry or but be a human, Lord. But I pray that we as Christians should look for everything that we do should be something connected to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you be with us this service. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with the ones that are not here. Be with the ones that are in the foreign countries. Lord, just cover each one by your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, part 140. We'll talk a little bit today about growth, and we'll talk about when you sit down. So in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord has blessing to the reading of the Word. And in Colossians 1, this is what we're trying to get to, for by him were all things created. So God created all things, this person, this man, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, where they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. What a powerful guy we got here. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So where's the devil in that? I don't even see him in there. But we let him, as Ryan said, we let him poke in there somewhere. All right, get on our shoulder. He's a lot closer to me. If he was just on my shoulder, I could literally flick him off, Sue, but he gets inside my head sometimes. Once in a while, once in the morning, while in the afternoon. So he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church. All right, so he is our headship. When we move, he tells us to move. Supposedly, that's the way it's supposed to be, because you can only move by what your head tells you to do. This is the control tower, right? He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, now look, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, what were we talking about last week? Now God is pleased that all fullness dwells in a bride.
Amen.
All right? And that is, we'll stop here just for a moment, and we'll look at the dispensations, and we'll see it on a chart here maybe a little bit later. There's dispensations, and God works in a dispensation like Luther, Wesley, different ones. They weren't required what we were required. We weren't required what they were required. We're required them plus, because we're here at the end. We got to have all things, all right? And I don't think that maybe Martin Luther could have stood up and preached a sermon that she is him. He didn't have that understanding. He didn't need that understanding. Listen, God's not going to throw something out there and then nobody understands it. He's going to give it to you in the portion that you need, in the hour you need it in, and in the dispensation. So this is a dispensation of the Son of Man. All right? Now, we had a dispensation, and we've been talking these 140 sermons. We have been under the Son of God dispensation called Church Ages. Okay? All right? And it started on the day of Pentecost. God came back down into the people by the Holy Ghost, got inside the people, cleaned their soul up, and then started cleaning their spirit realm up. All right? But remember, they weren't required to come to full adoption. Okay? That was not a requirement. You don't, it's not required when you go to this first grade. It's not required that you understand calculus. But you got to get the basics before you can understand calculus, all right, so that we can grow, all right? And then what are we doing? We're growing to where Brother Brown calls it in morphe, or changing form. Mm-hmm. So what happens is now the bride, we know it's a she. We know we've read the quote, brides, churches, brides. But there's going to come one. So he's honing it all down to where a prophet of God could stand one day at his rising of the sun and say, she is him.
Yes.
She is him. So the dispensation changed. The dispensation changed from church to bride. Now that bride is supposed to be mature. She's supposed to be not just like Jesus Christ, because they did that down through the church ages. They were like Christ. But we're supposed to be Christ. Now they were. They just didn't understand it. Listen, it's hard to understand that the Holy Ghost never taught a false doctrine, yet Luther could stand in a pulpit and preach, the just shall live by faith, but be a Trinitarian. That didn't come from his soul realm. That came from his spirit realm. But listen, God said, okay, that's all right. That's all I require you now is to come out of this church. Come out of this Catholic system. Same way with me and you. He didn't require that you understand the full opening of the seals. He didn't want you to understand that when you were a baby in Christ. You were just struggling to do right. You were just struggling to act right. Your dispensation is you were in the church ages. You were trying to figure out who this Son of God is. Not worrying about the Son of Man at the moment. Worry about who the Son of God is. He's God in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the Holy Spirit, and it's continued to be the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit now working at a higher level. All right, the Holy Spirit is working now in a higher level. There's more requirement. Listen, there always has been a rocket. There always has been rocket fuel. There always has been all these things. It just took a while for man to get it together, right? Orville and Wilbur did not create a spaceship. They were just trying to get out off the ground. And they got like 30 feet off the ground and went a couple of hundred feet, and they were like, wahoo! Well, man, you know what do? We laugh at that now. But the people watching it was like, wow. That's something new. Wow, that's something new. They're 30 feet off the ground. They went 200 feet in the air. Well, what came from that? Brother Aaron got an airplane in Atlanta, flew all the way down to Central America. You can get in a plane now, and you can fly all the way almost to the Philippines, halfway around the world, in the same plane. And they feed you three meals a day, or three meals in the flight, give you all kind of entertainment. Well, now, Orville and Wilbur didn't have that. So when you were a newborn baby in Christ, you were just trying to get up off the ground.
Yes, sir.
All right? I'm backing up just a little bit because I want to tell you about dispensations because we're fixing to change one. We've been in the Son of God dispensation as the church ages, the seven church ages. There was a dispensation that God was working through a group of people trying to get them saved. Are filled with the Holy Ghost, but not so much coming to maturity. Now, he's always wanted us to come to maturity because Peter preached it. But then the Catholic Church picks it up and says, you don't need to be mature. Just listen to what we got to say because we're the mature one. Well, that was the devil standing there. Everybody with me? Because God wants to work through his people. As Bob was talking about with the Nicolaitan spirit. We'll get into that when we talk about this in the seals. It conquered the people. The people just finally just got so blinded, and they just said, okay, whatever. We're just going to go to church, and you're going to preach in Latin, and we're going to understand what you say. But we know when you do this right here, and we do this, then everything's all right. Right, Sister Anna? Everything's good. Go back home, do whatever you want to do, but just make sure that you do what Papa Pope says, and we're good. Well, you see, that was a dispensation. Listen, there's going to be some Catholic bride. Oh, don't get quiet on me. There's going to be some Catholic bride. Because they lived in their dispensation that they lived in. Everybody with me? Now, they weren't Catholic, like Catholic, but even Martin Luther. Martin Luther was half Catholic. Even when he come out, he was still bringing some of the Catholic Church with him out of there. And Columba, in the Dark Ages, all of different ones, worked in Catholicism. I don't think, I don't think for one minute that God, for that 1,500 years of Dark Ages, that there was nobody saved. Somebody became bride during that time. Somebody accepted the message of the hour for their hour and became bride. Listen, we sit here today knowing that we have the most powerful message in the world.
Yes.
Formidable opponent to the devil. But you know what? When we get into that future home, we're only going to be like one street. 99% of the people never heard of this message. They're a bride. They're already gone. They're already in another dimension waiting on us to bring them here.
Right.
Oh, no, it's going to be full of message believers. Yeah, it's going to be full of message believers for their message for their day.
Right.
So we don't disclude all those. You know, let God separate them.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about it. We're going to try to pull them all in. Remember Brother Brown said, draw the circle bigger.
Amen.
All right? But now we got to realize the dispensation we're in now is that God is now requiring that he's been in human flesh for 2,000 years. Now listen to me a minute. He's been in flesh for 2,000 years.
Right.
Now he wants us to use that. Aaron's not here. I'm cutting the cool on because I'm hot. And I know the ones of you that are fanning is not just to keep flies off of you. Maybe to keep you awake. Right, Jeffrey? Ah, air conditioning. See there? All we got to do is punch a button. Martin Luther and them probably would have loved to have had some of this air conditioning when they were outside preaching. Like I was talking about John Wesley reading his, he preached 20 sermons a day. He jumped up, one time he didn't have a place to preach, he jumped up on somebody's mausoleum in the middle of a cemetery and started preaching. You know what? One soul's to God. What have we ever done? But now that requirement has come to us to come to full maturity. There not be a piece left. There not be one section of this body not working. That's why from now to day, from day forward, it's serious time. It's serious time. We've had a whole year when we were talking about let it out. Get the thing, whatever it is, get it out and let's get something in, or let the Holy Ghost out and let him reflect himself in a group of people to the world. All right? But she is him. Can you swallow that you are God made manifest in another form called bride? That you are the manifestation, not a manifestation. You're the manifestation of God for the day and hour you're living in.
Yes.
All right? That's updated revelation. That's a dispensation that we come to. The bride's brides, church's brides, but they'll come one.
Amen.
Which is here now today.
Yes, sir.
And she is him.
Yes.
So whatever the Bible talks of Jesus Christ now, he's talking about you.
Amen.
Now, back in the church ages, they couldn't preach that. Jesus is here. We must believe he's our Savior, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you got to bring it now to where a prophet stood one day. Brother Tim Pruitt was preaching yesterday at a minister's meeting. And he did a real good job about bringing everything back in. We got to realize every time that God talks about and gives a promise to the Lord Jesus in the Bible, it's for me and you.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's heirs and joint heirs. He got a glorified body, you're going to get a glorified body. You're going to have to suffer a little bit. He said, look, take up your what? Take up your cross.
Right.
and follow me. So you got a cross to bear. You don't have to get up there and physically die, but you got a cross. You got to drag around with you all the time. But she is him. There's a manifestation now of God in this dispensation that's physical. It's been physical all along. We just haven't been able to understand it. It now is physical. That she is him. That Adam and Eve were literally the same person. DNA from Adam, DNA from Eve. Couldn't tell the difference because they came from, she came out from him. Amen? That's where did we come from? We came from out of him. All right? And that's where he wanted us to fellowship with us. He wanted, Adam was lonely, remember? God was lonely, he made Adam. Adam was lonely, he made Eve. Okay? So God had been lonely the whole time. I was telling you before, and I was telling him down at Brother Martin's last weekend, the Lord Jesus has not laid eyes on us physically. He's waiting to see his bride. Physically see us. Oh, when we get caught up in the air, he's going to be, you're talking about being caught up. He's going to physically see us, Sister Regina. We're going to be right there with him, and he's going to be able to touch us. He's not able to touch us now. He has nobody on this earth but me and you. He can hear us through the blood. Because we've not come to perfection totally yet. This thing's still dead.
That's right,
yeah. Remember Brother Branham? He went across the curtain of time, but where was his body? His body was still there because it was born in sin. That was the part that needed to be changed.
Right. Right.
Or go to the grave and be brought up in a resurrection. That's the two things that we got to deal with. But in this dispensation is that somebody is not going to die. According to the Bible, according to the prophet's message, someone is going to stand on this earth. And as Brother Branham, we were talking before in the adoption series, he said, you won't be praying for people anymore. You'll be commanding the thing. Well, now, Brother Ryan, what did he just tell y'all? He commanded that devil to leave him alone. He commanded that devil, he's going to believe it right here. Brother John, he commanded that devil to get off his shoulder. We think the devil's got his filthy claws dug in us. He's not. He's just sitting there. Come on. You think, oh, no, he's got his claws. Well, you let him. You know what you did? You let him sit there long enough to get fingernails. Help. Preach a little bit today. You let him sit there so long, he become a part. He took roots. If you'll get him off to begin with, you can get him off a whole lot quicker. But this is what we have to realize. This is our time. Brother Brown was talking about Easter. And this is the rising of the sun. It's 1965. This is less than a year before he passed on. He was able to tell us this. And as he being the groom, the bride has to come forth. Now, come forth from what? Him. All right? That's why we've been talking about the statue of perfect man. This is the dispensation of the Son of God. This is your seven church ages. Everybody with me?
Amen.
This right here has not been known by man until the end time, and we'll read it a little bit. He left the earth. The Son of Man left because it was God in human flesh. God in human flesh, he left. But remember what the angel said. Said that same one you see leaving, that same one. Now, that same one didn't come back on the day of Pentecost. He came back in spirit form on the day of Pentecost. He didn't come back in flesh form. In their flesh, yes. But I mean, when he was standing there, Brother George, he was standing there on that mountain or wherever he was. And he was what? He ascended. Well, he took his body with him. His earthly body. It all went. But those two angels said, hey, you see that cloud? You see that cloud? That same Lord Jesus you see go up, he's fixing to come back in the same way he left. And he is now in his bride. But he came back on the day of Pentecost as the new birth, as the soul of God being parted out among a group of people that were trying to live the word of God the best they knew how. But there's more requirement now. There's more requirement that we are what? Wife. That we use this power and authority that we have. Not power and authority to zap your boss out of existence or that guy that cut you off on the road or, you know, the person that was mad at you in Walmart or something. No, that's not what it's used for. All right? To me, I want to focus on trying to get everybody saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I want. Whole family. Everybody. Everybody connected to me. And, man, you ought to do that. You say, oh, no, that now, wait a minute. God might have said the same thing about you one day. When somebody's trying to talk to you about the Lord and you're like running off somewhere, or you're running over yonder and running away. He caught you though, didn't he? He caught you. You know why? Because you stood still long enough. Brother Bram said he's got to get the bride, what, to stand still long enough so he can dress her. Amen. We'll get that quote a little bit later on. But he's got, we're doing this. Stand still. Be still. You read that thing right there? Be still and know that I am God. Now, not be still and be a statue, but be a stature. We'll read it here in just a few minutes. Where the Lord Jesus grew in stature. Not statue. Sure, we're all going to grow in statue unless you're stunted growth. We're all going to grow in statue because we're eating. But we got to grow in stature, which is growth development. Everybody with me? So she's going to be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, life of his life. Do we really believe that? All right? There was one purpose he had, that God might dwell in his church. Now here, look. Hey, one purpose. That God might dwell in his church and continue his plans through the church. Not just dwell in her and her sit there and enjoy life and enjoy church service. No, to be used by God, continue his plan through the church, that God was in Christ, continuing his plan through Christ, out of Christ into the church, continuing his work through the church. All right? Now, see, Brother Branham in 1959, he's saying church. Well, now, that could be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. He was preaching to a whole group of people. But we come to the seals, though, and he says, hey, I now call you bride. In other words, I weeded out. He didn't, but his message weeded out. Remember, he's preached to thousands of people. Thousands of people when he was healing. But when he come down to preach the rapture message, he preached it in a trailer out in Arizona. There's only 30-something people, I think, in the trailer. This great message of the rapture. What happened? Honing time. They couldn't take it, so they left. Listen, if you don't have the Holy Ghost today, you're going to leave. Physically, you're going to leave. Because you can't stand it. You can't stand it. So you'll physically leave because you don't have the Holy Ghost. I ain't talking about going somewhere. I'm talking about you see people come in as one brother. I've always love him, still see him all the time. Man, he sat on the front row, and he would just pull like you wouldn't believe. And, I mean, he, not like some of y'all, like falling asleep. He'd be on that front row right there, and he's gone. He had some fuel, but he didn't have no fire. He had a little fuel, but it takes a mechanics and a dynamics to do it. Because, listen, you won't walk away from this message with the Holy Ghost. The message of the hour is the Holy Ghost for the hour. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you can't get Luther's Holy Ghost. Now, it's the same Holy Ghost, but you can't get his type. Because that's just justification. That's just getting you started now. The requirement is full adoption, as Brother Bram said many, many times, and continue his work through the church. All right, let's continue. All that God was, he poured into Christ because he emptied himself and poured it into Christ. Now, that's a dispensation. That was a dispensation of Jehovah in the Old Testament. God above us. There's no way he could get in man because of what? Because of the sin curse. Yes. And the blood of an animal could only cover or capo, put it over the top of it, and your sin would go through and God would forgive you. But your sin stayed there. The sin person was still inside of you. Right? So you had to go back to next year and do another one. You had to go back to next year. You read that in the book of Hebrews. Brother Bob's already been through it. Because if it would have just been the blood of bulls and goats, you'd come up here one time a year, throw your sacrifice down, we'd kill it, and you'd go back home. For some of y'all, that would be easy. But it's a continuous going behind the veil. Not depending on the preacher to do it or the deacons. Are the Sunday school teachers? You got to go behind the veil. You got to come boldly to the throne of grace. You know why? Because you can. Back then it was death to walk in there. There was no way. You would be a complete idiot to even get close to that Holy of Holies. It was so revered and only one person. And he had to be completely covered by oil. Completely covered by the different colors that he was required to do. Or he died. The pomegranates and the bells. As he walked holy, holy, they could hear him. They said, oh, he's still alive. He's good. He's good. And when he walked down and said, hey, your sins are forgiven for another year. Wow. I don't want my sins forgiven for a year. Because I might live another one, Sister Regina. and them babies are coming back. I want that sin curse gone. Amen. All right? I do believe in once saved, always saved. If you get the Holy Ghost, you can't lose it. We may fall. We may stumble. We may head backwards every once in a while. Hey, like Brother Ryan said, get up and go. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. Now, you take a young man. Maybe I'll just preach a little bit today. You take a young man like Brother Ryan. Now, I saw him. Oh, how old were you when we first met? 17? Good grief. How old are you now? 39. Shut your mouth. Can you? Got four youngins and a wonderful, beautiful wife. But when we first met Ryan, he was a little rough because he was so naive.
Yeah.
He was so naive. But he showed up everywhere. He's like a gnat. He was always there. He's always there, right? You know, you look, and there's Ryan. You want to go to fellowship meeting? Yes, I do. There's Ryan. You want to go to this? Yes, there's Ryan. You want to play the drums? Yeah, I'm good. And then we go to those fellowship meetings, and bless his heart, we had a van back then. And we'd get in and go to Brother Tom Kershane's, and he'd just have a mouthful of puke, because he'd have to hold it back. But he went.
Right.
Not like some of us, as Brother Bob said, get a sniffle and a cat. Or cat gets sick and stay home. Brother Ryan fought through that thing.
Amen.
I mean, we'd go down through that. It was 3 hours to Brother Tom Kershane's and all up through the mountains, Highway 64. And Ryan was like, but you know what? He never complained. I actually didn't even realize it till one day. I think he said something because he looked like a ghost. He was white as a sheet. But you know what? He persevered. He kept going. He kept going. He kept going to camp meetings. He kept, or youth meetings, and kept going to the camp meetings and met Gabby. Odd couple at first, may I? Because I knew them all. I remember her testimony in 2006, I believe it was, right? At the meeting where she felt like committing suicide. You have too. If you hadn't, get ready, because that devil's still around. I just read in the paper yesterday, the suicide rate in the United States is up like 30%. A lot of it is overdose. But a lot of it is people can't handle stuff. Because this world, they don't know what this world is. They don't know what tomorrow is. They don't know what the next day is. They don't know where they're going, or they really don't know where they came from. But you say, oh, now, wait a minute. That's not in the message, because we know who we are. Baloney. It's right here. It's in this building. But you got to fight it. Fight that thing. Listen, God is a life what? A life giver, not a life taker. If somebody wants you to take your life, it's the devil. And he got an end. God does not have an end. That's what God said about us. The Lord Jesus died on a cross for depression. He died on a cross for people that want to commit suicide. He died on the cross for adulterers and all. That's what he died for. He didn't die for the good people. The good people hated him. Caiaphas and all them, they, bless God, I ain't never done nothing wrong. You know what you did? You just turned down God. That's what you did. You didn't do anything wrong, maybe out in the world, but because you know people still depended on Caiaphas even after Jesus went on out, gone, and they still depend on Caiaphas to go in there once a year. But that dispensation changed to a dispensation of a bride. It went out of that church. When he left, he come back in a bride. He didn't come back in that church. That's why Brother Brown says this will never be denominated. This can't go back into a denomination. Like even Luther went into a denomination. Wesley into a denomination. Now you can look at the Wesleyan church now, or look at the United Methodist. Some are United Methodist, some are just Methodist. Because of the gay agenda and all these different things. But you can't tell this one over here that they're still wrong too. You can't do that. Praise God that they come out of that junk. But go higher. That's where God is. God's not back there anymore. He's here. And he's here to fulfill your need because, look, Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, Old Testament, poured into Christ, The New Testament.
Yes.
And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Yes. Look, not into one individual.
Right.
But into the entire body.
Yes, sir.
There's where we come together in unity. We have power.
Yes.
That's why we're lambs. We're herd animals. We have power together. If you ever get separated from your church or from the believers, you know that's not God, and you know you're not going to win. You will fail. That devil will sink his teeth in you. But all that God was in Christ, and all that Christ was is in you. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Brother Ram said, and then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people that he could have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Why does he want that? He can't work in false doctrine. He can't work when we come to church and we're not born again. He can't use you. You got to be born again. You got to be in a family before you even be adopted. Oh, yeah, we can work. Yeah, keep coming to church. Keep coming. Brother Luis Urego, he'll tell you. He went to a certain church for a long time, Message Church. When he come to this church, he said, I sat there, and he said, for 3 months, I think Brother Bob and Brother Joe said, just sit and listen. Because Brother Dale, he's rough sometimes, and he's a wonderful teacher, but sometimes he gets up in the atmosphere. But if you'll listen long enough, why can't you realize the Holy Ghost inside of you has got to bring you the truth of that, what he's talking about?
Amen.
Right? Because he's not confused. He's not the author of confusion. But Louis said, I sat there for about 3 months. He said, all of a sudden, things started falling together. Kind of like a Tetris game, you know. He said, things went into place. He said, I started seeing things. He said, I realized I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And he'd been in another church and been preaching. That's fine. At least he realized he needed a new birth. And he said he received it right here. Now, he never came to the altar and raised his hand up. He accepted it right where he was at. And that's the way we're supposed to do. Brother, the Bible tells us that as the word went forth, the Holy Ghost fell and the people got the Holy Ghost. Amen? Sure, it's good to come up here. It's good to pray for the people. Now, let's not do away with that. But when are we going to start accepting it like a Gentile? Lord, I'm an authority. You're an authority. You just speak the word. You don't have to go lay hands. Jairus is like, come on in here. Lay hands on me. Lay hands on my daughter. Lay hands on my... Not Gentile way. Gentile way is, God, whatever you say, that's the way it's going to be. So Christ's mystery, God revealed, said, look, now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. The preeminence is all that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. Look, the believers, not the church, the believers. All right? What's his purpose now? Look, express himself as a son, and now that in him might dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's talking about Colossians. Then look at the very end. Through this life of this son, he's going to have a bride, which is Eve, the second Eve. And that's me and you sitting here today. Mighty God unveiled before us. So then it was God. In them days, it was God and a man, his son Jesus, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, not an ordinary human. Why? Because the spirit was God. Ours is not. Hello? Ours is not. We're heading there. But our spirit is the spirit of man.
Right.
His spirit was the spirit in sundry times and divers manners and spoke to the prophet, the Holy Spirit. That's why he was perfect. That's why he didn't make mistakes when he spoke the word of God.
Right.
But now remember, I'm going to read you a scripture here where it seems like he made some mistakes. Now as a human, I believe he did. I don't believe as a little child, he just sat there and everything was good and he didn't throw his food on the floor. And No. That's not the God. I want that God to be so human that I understand him and he understands me.
Yeah.
All right. So now it's God and men. Look, God and a man. Now it's God and men. The fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church manifests himself, fulfilling his word. Now look. So what is he talking about? The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in Jesus Christ. All right. Let's stop right here just for a second. Pause for a second. Wake up. Punch yourself. So the fullness of Godhead bodily was in Jesus Christ, right?
Right?
He was the Son of Man, right? He made no mistakes in his doctrine, right? But Luther had problems with his doctrine. Wesley had problems with theirs. I'll read it to you in a minute, where Brother Barrett said you Pentecostals. In other words, you cabbage down on this gift part. You didn't move on. Right? Okay. Baptist, you had, for a time, you were good. You had the truth. But God moved and you didn't. Right? Jesus never said, I do just about what the Father says. He says, I only do that what the Father says. So that's the Son of Man. That's God in human flesh being controlled, that flesh being so controlled by God till it was God. You say, well, that's impossible for me. Well, you just stopped yourself. Because it says, now it's God in men. Look, the fullness of God. He didn't say part. Because what we're going to look at in just a minute, the reason we have to have these dispensations is the Son of God dispensation did not require everybody to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There were flaws in their doctrine. Listen, I'm going to tell you one more time. The Son of Man never preached a sermon that was wrong. But now Luther did, Wesley did, Pentecost did. They all did. Brother Branham preached wrong until when? Until the seals opened. Oh, boy, people don't like that, but he did. He said he did. He said, I'd have made a horrible mistake if I'd have went back on my regular notes and preached the... In other words, he's going to preach a wild horse rider was the Holy Ghost. He's the Antichrist. But when the seals open, so now you and I are working under that Son of Man dispensation. That's why Luke 17:30 and all these different things said that Son of Man's got to come back in the end time to get in a group of people and not divide us.
That's right.
Not divide us by doctrine. But bring us together.
Yes.
And it's only going to be a very short, small group of people. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead, fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifest himself, fulfilling his word. Now, will it we find now, see, God for all ages, he had skin on it. Right. He's been veiled behind skin since the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago.
Yes, right.
But the fullness of the Godhead bodily has not been required until now. Because remember, he left as the Son of Man. He left with that dispensation with him. Okay? He was cut off. That's what Jesus kept saying. You're going to cut me off. You're going to kill me. And the disciples are going, what are you talking about? What do you mean you 3 days, you tear this temple down 3 days? It took us 49 years to build this temple. How are you going to... They weren't thinking. They were thinking carnal. Yeah, he was speaking spiritual. But I'll guarantee you on the day of Pentecost, Peter, James, and John, and all the different ones that were up there, they understood a little bit what God was talking about. Because remember, he said, you can't take this now. But when I come back, I'll lead you and guide you into all truth.
Right.
Peter, after the day of Pentecost, Peter didn't try to cut nobody's ear off.
Right.
He preached till their ears fell off, but he didn't cut nobody's ear off.
Right.
Because he matured, he grew.
Yes.
All right, so God is in skin, but he's in skin now to be revealed as the Son of Man, Jesus Christ on earth. We saw a little portion of it with Brother Branham, but you're going to see in the fullness in the bride, all right? Because look, Jesus was telling them, he stood there one day and said, the stone which the builders rejected, he's talking about himself. The revelation, the stone that the church was supposed to be built on was standing there in front of them, and they rejected him.
Yes. Right.
So I'm going to now become the head of the corner. I'm coming down as Zerubbabel and take the foundation, and then I'm going to put the plummet to the line, and I'm going to build this great army back up again. Remember Joel says, I'll get this great army back. Four eat it, four brings it back. All right. So why didn't just three bring it back, though? Why isn't it just justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost? Why has it got to be number four, which is the Word, back in power again? All right. The Word's been in power in part. We know in part. We prophesy in part. But that which is perfect is come. That which is in part to be done away with. Now, that doesn't mean done away with, but that means hid away. That means hid away. They were in another, they're all in another dimension waiting on me and you to come to full maturity.
Right.
All right? But the stone which the builders rejected, which was him, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. In other words, taken from the Jews. We've already been over this. And given to a nation. What? A Gentile bride.
Yes.
That will bring forth those fruits.
Yes.
All right? Then here's rising the sun. There's been churches, churches, brides, churches, brides, brides. But there's got to come one.
Yes.
There's got to come a real bride. Not that they were false, but there's got to become one that's the Son of Man, that's God in human flesh without error. You say, I can't do it. No, you can't, but he can. He can through you. Remember preeminence? He's got to give you the preeminence. He's got to have the preeminence in me and you. Revelation 3:14 says, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, this is our age, or the age we're living in, the time period. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Not that there was false witnesses. But watch this word, true, the beginning of the creation of God. You read that one more time. The beginning of the creation of God. How can God have a beginning? He had a beginning the way he wanted to be in Jesus Christ. Which was God in flesh. Now, as being the beginning of the creation of God. Now, why didn't he put that, Brother Mark? Why wasn't that in the first church age? Why didn't God put that in the first church age? No, he goes over to the first church age, and we're going to cover the church ages maybe during the year, Lord willing. First church age, right at the get-go, Brother George, right at the foundation part. God said, you've left your first love. Right. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Right. You got off the foundation. I'll take your name out. You just keep reading all the things. But he comes up here to this last church age. He says, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. How was God? How did God want to be created? He wanted to be in human flesh, back in the Garden of Eden, to produce me and you. Why did he wait till this church age to start that? Because it's the Son of Man revelation coming back in power, the beginning of the creation of God. Who was Jesus Christ? He was the Son of Man. When he was born, he was a Son of Man. The Son of God was inside of him, but he was the Son of Man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now look at this word true. Now this comes right from Strong's. That word right there, true, says that which has not only the name and resemblance. Watch. Now not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. Brother Brown says you can say one day they'll be where they say Jesus, Jesus, and not get anything. Why? Because they've made Satan Jesus. Come on, that's what the Bible says. Satan wants to be worshipped as God. Not like God, as God. Sitting in the temple of who? God. Showing himself that he is God. But the real nature corresponding to that name, the Lord Jesus Christ, is me and you. That's the real bride. That's the true bride. But the real nature corresponding to the name in every respect, look, corresponding to the idea signified by the name, real, true, and genuine. What did they do in the church ages? We'll read it again in the book of Revelations. What did they do? They took another name. They said, "You, Lord says, you got a name you're living by, but you're dead." Yes. And it wasn't Satan. It was Jesus Christ. But they said, you don't need a name. Let's just do these titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Right? That's why all that had to be restored in this age. Yes. Listen, if this is boring you, please go somewhere where you can get some excitement. If this is boring you, please. Or if you can find somebody that can help you get excited, bring him here. But you can't sit there and flip and sleep during the sermon and think, oh, I'm getting it. No, you're not. You don't care. I'm sorry. The Lord's tired of this. How many of you will sit and watch a movie for 3 hours and never bat an eye? Sit and watch a game. Making sure that you don't miss one play. Hello? You ever walked away and be watching a movie and walk away and come back 20 minutes later? You've never done that before. You hit pause because you don't want to miss what's going on. Hello? Right? Isn't that right? I do the same thing. Hit that pause button. I don't. When you come back 20 minutes later, that guy's still going. Why? Because you don't want to miss what that guy's fixing to do after he does this. Well, let's respond to God now the same way. Let's say amen when amen needs to be said. Because look, we are the faithful and true witness. We say, oh, that's Jesus Christ. Well, I just told you for 20 minutes. Where's he at now? He's in his bride. And he's quickening everything that he said 2,000 years ago. Whatever you read in the Bible, he's supposed to be quickening that.
Amen.
I know more than I did a year ago.
Yes.
I hope you do.
Yes. Amen.
You know what? That wasn't the devil who did that. The devil would want you to know less than you did a year ago. But if you know just a sentence, Brother Ryan, tell him. If you just hold on to one sentence and say, God, that's it right there. I'm hanging on to that. I'll hang on to this. And like Brother Bram said, if this ain't it, I'm going to hang on right here.
Yes, sir.
Until that comes. Oh, did I knock the... Sorry about that.
Tell him, Roman.
Boo, devil. Calm down. I can't calm down. Because listen, we're the wife of a king. We're the wife of a king. We are royalty. God said we were. Let's start acting like royalty. Don't stick your nose up in the air. But be humble. Humble. You know, you look at the different rulers in kingdoms. And even like Queen Elizabeth and different ones. They weren't harsh rulers. Harsh rulers didn't last very long.
That's right.
Hitler, all the different ones, they came to a very funny end. They either took their own life or they were killed. But you get somebody that will sit down with you and talk to you. And not put that barrier, you know, from here to here. Same way with all of us. There's no big I's and little U's. There's no great ones among us. We're all the same. The only thing I believe I have is a gift to explain a little bit of what God's give us for y'all to get, us to get. And that's it. That's all. But there is part of our life that we have to give that, but that's fine with me. I don't mind that one bit. Because I want to see a mature wife. Whether I make it or not, I want to see a mature wife. I want to see God act in a church. In a people. If it's not me, that's okay.
That's right.
But I want to see it. Now, Brother Dale's always said that.
Right.
Remember he had the vision the years and years ago about helping people up the mountain?
Right.
He didn't go.
Right. Absolutely.
But he was helping people up the mountain. Oh. Up the mountain.
Right.
And put them in a what?
Yep.
Spaceship. Remember? There was a spaceship.
Yep.
And they were going up into that spaceship.
Yeah.
He was helping them get to the spaceship.
Yeah.
Well, we want to help each other get to that same spaceship. Because you know what that spaceship's going to do? It's going to take us into another dimension. It's not going to explode. It's not going to take us to another country. It's not going to take us to where there's trials and tribulations. It's going to take us out of here. It's going to take us into a wedding supper to where we can look at our lover and say, oh, if you hadn't come, if you hadn't sent us that prophet, we'd be as blind as the world is now. We'd be blind. You'd be walking it tomorrow. You'd be going, well, what's going to happen the next day? Well, what's going to happen the next day? No. We already got yesterday. Tomorrow's news, yesterday's news. We got all the news. We know what's going to happen. We know what's coming. We know we are not going to go through the tribulation. We know we are not going to stand judgment. That ought to make you shout right there. But being married, I read this the other day, and I want to read just a little bit more. But because God give us a helpmeet, not a helpmate, all right, somebody to help us. So when you grow old, who will take care of you? For many, that caretaker will be a spouse. But does marriage actually improve life expectancy? Here's what research shows. Marriage was one of the first non-biological. Now, that means something you can't put medicine to. Biological is your biological self, okay? Biology. This is the first non-biological factors identified as improving life expectancy. It ain't a pill, it ain't a shot. It's being married. Now, listen, this is typing us in Christ. If you're not married and don't have a spouse, Christ is your head.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
And if you stay married to him, I'd rather be married to him than be married to June and where she's sitting there. If I'm married to Christ, me and her will be okay. But if I'm not married to Christ, Katie, bar the door. We was talking about yesterday. These people spend $25,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 on weddings. Yeah. 5 years later, they're divorced. Yeah. Oh, if they had to put that money up. They could have divided it after 5 years and had $20,000 apiece. If you want to look at it that way. But I mean, it's just a waste of money. But that's the way the world is. Oh, that's okay. We're going to have drive-by divorces anyway. You go through the drive-thru and say, I'll take that one. But that's not what God wants. The explanation was given that married people tend to take fewer risks with their health and have better mental and emotional health. Hello, somebody. Isn't that what happened when you get born again? You don't do the things you used to do. Don't drink, smoke, cuss, and do all those things, right? You try to live a little better, healthy. And then your mental health and your emotional health, if you're a Christian, it's got to be better than the world. It's got to be. Yeah. Marriage also provides more social and material support. Read your Bible, study, pray to your lover. Which means having someone to take you to the doctor. Well, I want somebody to take me to the great physician, do you? Amen. You got a need today? Go to the great physician. You ain't got to go to your regular doctor. Go to the great physician. If you need to go to a regular doctor, that's okay. But they can't heal you. They can give you a pill or give you a shot, and they give you a Band-Aid, but God's the one to heal anyway. Amen. Someone to take you to the doctor and care for you when you're sick. It can save your life. Married people live longer and healthier lives. Listen, if you're not married to Christ, you have a very short life expectancy. Amen. But if you're married to Christ, you can't even put a date on the end of it. Come on. You can't put a date on the end of it. The power of marriage is particularly evident in late middle age. We're already past that, most of us. So anyway, we look at mortality differences. And it's just, I don't want to read the rest of that. You just read it if you want to. You just look it up online. It's got to be true, right, Amy? In fact, I mean, look, this person's name, I Sing Lee. Okay, it's got to be maybe AI, who knows. They compiled a catalog. Look, being unmarried is one of the greatest risks that people voluntarily subject themselves to. I say amen. If you're not married to Christ, you're married to the devil. And your risk is going to be much higher. Come on. Sick people who are married live longer than their unmarried counterparts. Amen. Eternal versus not. Science have studied immune functions in the laboratory, find that happily married couples have better functioning immune systems. Wow. Amy, do you know that? It's got to be true. Don't lie. You look it up. Happily married couples have better functioning immune systems. Divorced people, even years after the divorce, show much lower levels of immune functions. Wow. Don't worry, I'm not preaching on marriage and divorce. But listen, there's many factors, and I've never said it from the pulpit, but I'll say it today. There are many factors. When you talk about divorce, it's horrible to begin with. God hates it, okay? The Bible tells you not to do it, but some have done it anyway, okay? That doesn't knock you out of heaven. It just knocks you away from a mental battle. You'll battle yourself the whole time. But just being that one thing, that you get a divorce and you have to live alone, or then you pick a different spouse and it's not the right one. Come on, I mean, I'm talking about life here. So let's get married to Christ first. And make sure that person that you're looking at, young people, is married to Christ first. When that person is married to Christ first, I'll promise you, you may have some issues. But you'll live a lot longer life, and you'll be a lot more happier if you know Christ first. So marry him first. Marry somebody that's married to Christ first. When you do that, listen, you take the divorce factor right out of the way. Okay? All right? So anyway, I dropped that in, and you didn't go out the door, so we're good. All right, so let's look just for a minute. Now, we talk about this man, the Lord Jesus. We talk about the Son of Man. This is God in human flesh. All right? This is the Almighty God. Right? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Brother John, in his humanity, he had to grow in stature, not statue. That's stature. All right? Now watch this right here. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. This is Almighty God. Yes. This is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right. This is a person that was born the way they were supposed to be born. This is the person that has no carnal mind. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. This is the Lord himself. This is God Almighty. Listen, I do not believe for one moment he was a man and then he became God. Right. If he was a man, we need to find that man.
That's right.
He was God Almighty. The Bible said he was what? Emmanuel, born Emmanuel, God with us. That's enough for me.
Amen.
He was born God, but he was born human. All right? God and man became one. But though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Look, and being made perfect. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right? Let me skip over here real quick, then we'll close right here. Don't look at that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your eyes. Get all the way down here to the bottom. All right, now look. Let's look at the dispensation. Now, we are going to talk about this interval. So if you come back tomorrow, this afternoon, bring your Bible with you, or I'm going to try to maybe run some. Schofield does a good job of breaking it apart so you can see it. I didn't have time to do it. I mean, it would have been pages of scripture to show those intervals or show those gaps, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll talk about that this afternoon because it's very important. It's very important that you look at that interval and what happens between that time, because remember, there's nothing not happening. Something's happening during that time, all right? Like we said, dispensation change. We've had church ages, church ages, church ages, bride, church ages, bride. Now there's one, all right? And now she's required to be the fullness of Godhead bodily. She's actually the one that brings the gap together. What brings that gap together? The Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit in full maturity, not the Holy Spirit down here.
Right.
All right? We'll talk about it this afternoon. Now look, why wasn't he recognized as the Son of Man? The Son of Man was the spiritual revelation of prophet. Son of Man means prophet. All right? He talks about turnover in the Bible in Ezekiel. The promised word of that hour being made manifest. Oh, I'm sorry. Jehovah called him a man, the Son of Man, the same as Jesus revealed himself as the Son of Man. What was it? The promised word, look, of that hour.
Yes.
Jesus didn't come in Moses' time. Jesus didn't come in Moses. He didn't come with John's message, but yet he and John were overlapping. Right. All right? We'll get into that maybe later on, too. God of Ezekiel's time, God of Jesus' time, Son of Man. He was not at that time. Listen, he was the Son of Man because he had come to reveal himself to Israel as a prophet, and they rejected it.
Yes.
Remember, they rejected the headstone, which is the Son of Man.
Right.
All right? They rejected him. God said, that's okay. I don't care. I'm going to start. I'm going to have my church. I'm going to come right back, and I'm going to build a foundation. And that was the prophecy that they should receive him in the name of the Son of Man, a prophet, because it was according to the word. Deuteronomy 18:15. Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And when he come, he identified himself. Look, he never called himself the Son of God. They called him the Son of God. He said, you say. Because he identified himself. He identified himself in his ministry as a man, not a son of God, son of man. God is a spirit. And he revealed himself as Son of Man, what he claimed to be. And they were blinded and couldn't see it. All right. But now unto the Gentiles he reveals himself, and now the Son of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Now look, that's the dispensation, Holy Ghost in the church ages, all right? Now Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now, I didn't put the rest of that quote, but remember what happens. The Son of Man is to be revealed again, all right? Proving his word. When he was on earth, he was the Son of Man. He cannot be the Son of God. He never claimed to be. He was the Son of Man, all right? Now you keep going a little bit further. The message of the hour cannot come through theology. He's talking about the message he's bringing. Not Son of God there. He had to be the Son of Man. Now watch. Then he served his office as Son of Man. Then he serves his office now as a son of God. See, Brother Branham is standing preaching in the Son of God dispensation. But he's the only one that knows about the Son of Man dispensation. He was the gap, just like John stood and introduced Jesus. Brother Branham stood in the gap and introduced Jesus. Right? To the world. All right? Then he served his office now as Son of God. God is the Spirit. And when now he served through the church ages as the Son of God. Now in the millennium, he'd be Son of David. We know that goes to the Jews. But there's a time period that you're in right now that you're in the Son of Man dispensation. God's got to come back and cap that, put that cap back on that pyramid. That's the reason he cannot be the Son of God. Now watch. This will prove something, and then we'll pause for this afternoon. That's the reason he could not be the Son of God there, what, where he was standing on earth. Because he was the Son of Man. The Word comes to the prophet. And he was the Word in its fullness, watch, Son of Man, the major prophet. Not the major prophet, but God prophet. Now watch. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him. Therefore, or in other words, that made him the Son of Man. That's why the Son of Man can't come back in power until the end time when the fullness of the Godhead bodily is being revealed, which is the Son of Man. That's what makes us the Son of Man as a collective body. Not me, not Brother Branham. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. But there's your characteristic. Son of God dispensation is not the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's God and his bride trying to get them to see things. They have these doctrines that you've got to deal with. But the Son of Man never had a doctrine that was wrong. Right? When he left this earth that day, 2,000 years ago, when he went up, he could look back and say, I never preached a false doctrine. Now, how many can say that? Here. Well, we're supposed to be able to do that coming up right here. For 2,000 years, he's been known as the Son of God. Luke 17:30 says, even thus shall it be in the day, we're in the day of the Lord, like John was on the Isle of Patmos. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is what? Revealed. He's here already. He's here in his church. But he's got to be revealed. Matthew 17:1. And after six days, so they're in the seventh day, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, bring them to a high mountain, and was transfigured before him. Now, we know that was the hear ye him part. I'm kind of skipping through this a little bit because it's 11:50. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, Moses and Elijah appearing to him. Everybody with me? That's a Jewish dispensation, not ours. All right? So they came to him to talk to him about, Brother Bram said, about the future. Because who is the two prophets that's going to take the revelation over there? It's not going to be the Son of Man revelation, though. We get the Son of Man revelation, and we do just like he did. We go up in a cloud. Okay? Everybody with me? Answered Peter and said, oh, it's good to be here. Listen, Peter starts interjecting his own doctrine. We're going to build three tabernacles. Jesus said, shut up. Because look, it says, while he yet spake, something stopped him and said, hey, behold a voice out of the cloud which says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased, well pleased, hear ye him. Look, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now here's Jesus. Moses and Elijah have gone because they're going to the Jews, and he's going in that dispensation. So he's standing there with his bride for the moment. They weren't bride yet because they hadn't went to the upper room, but they were potentially bride. All right. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw Jesus by himself. Now watch. And when they came down from the mountain, here's what I want you to see. We'll stand to your feet. Jesus charged them saying, Jesus said, hey, we got a scene going on here. I've been looking about actors and scenes and different things and five parts of a drama and all that stuff. I want to reenter that where Brother Richard Douglas did about a year or so ago, because Brother Brown talks about when the seals opened, it was actors in a play. It was a play going on, and they were acting a part. All right. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged him, saying, look, tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, why'd he say again? He should have just said, now listen, tell the vision of no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Because he died. 6 months after this right here, he died. He physically died. They put him in a tomb. And he came back, right? He says, come back again, risen again. Well, you're in the rising part right now. You're in the second coming of the Son of Man. He was there one time. He's come back here. Tell the vision of no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, what did Brother Ram tell us? He told us, he said, he was in there and they killed him, right? The denominations, and he had to come out of the denominations, put them away, and marry a new bride, which is us. So the Son of Man has now be risen again. He's now being risen the second time in his church, in his bride, in his people, in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But we're waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. We are now in the dispensation of the Son of Man. And listen, folks, I'm going to say this lightly. God's waiting is about over. God's waiting on us being frivolous and not doing what we're supposed to do, me included, is about over. We either got to toe the line, we got to come to the plummet, we've got to come into that line, or we don't make it. I'm sorry. The dispensation had to move. And listen, now hold on a minute. When God moves, if we don't move, what happens? We become a denomination. You stay in this message? No, they can't make it a denomination where they said this is Branham, United Branham Church. No, or United Methodist Church. But they've made it that. Because they've not took the furtherance of the word. They've not took all the word. They just take the part they want. Yeah, and the message. And we may have some faults too, but I believe that if you go back and start listening to Brother Dale, different ones from this church, pretty much on the mark. If it didn't, I wouldn't be here. I'd go find something. Like Brother Dale said, if you can find something better, go find it. He said, but don't leave me here. Take me with you. Right? Because we're searching for that. We're searching for the Word of God. We're searching for the truth. You say, well, I'm sitting in truth. I'm talking about the faithful and true witness. The one that when that message sounds, you say, that ain't nothing but the truth. Yes, or you don't sit there and go, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, you better get to praying. Better get to praying. Better get to reading your Bible. Better get studying the message and catch up. Because it's true. And we got to come to this adoption before we come to the redemption of the body. The Son of Man ministry is here. The Son of Man dispensation. The Son of Man anointing is here. What are we going to do about it? Let's sing a song.
So glad I'm yours, Lord.
Sing it to him.
So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours.
62.
Has followed
enter in.
So
and get filled.
You found
empty yourself out. And get filled up with God.
Set me free.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we may have said some harsh things today, Lord, but wasn't part of the notes. So I pray, Lord, that that was you and it was done with the eye salve of grace, Lord, and that all of us need a sharpening up, Lord. We all need to be put on that potter's wheel and redone some of the things, Lord, that were in our life, Father, but you said you were the master potter and you do things perfect, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with each one of us, Father, and help us in our Christian journey, Lord. May we draw closer to you, Father. May the blessings fall, Lord, even on the ones that are not here, Lord. Dad, Mom, Anna, Richard, Sister Johnny, different ones, Lord, that can't be here. Sister Mary, Lord, bless Brother Darty and his family, Lord. You just wrap your wonderful arms around them, Lord, and just whisper in their ear and say, everything will be all right. Father, just be with us now as we come back in service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has followed me. You're dismissed.
So glad you found.